How many of you felt a little bit weary lately? You've just been trudging on, but you feel weary. Well, God spoke to me and he said, preach on the battle plan. And that's what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on the battle plan. My God. Can we one more time with all of our hearts and can we lift our voices up? Can we magnify God? Can we put him in his place tonight as my King and my Savior and my Deliverer? He's the rock that I stand on. Hallelujah! Come on, with all of our hearts, with our voices, can we lift Jesus up? Jesus, this is your service. Praise God. I'm going to tell you tonight with all assurity that Satan is out to destroy you. Satan doesn't like your face. He doesn't like what you say. He doesn't like the way you look. Satan's got one thing on his mind, and that's to destroy the temple of God. And I'm going to tell you what he's been doing. He has been wearing the church down. And we have failed to recognize some of his tactics. We have failed to see what he's been doing in us. And we have accepted it as truth. Well, let me tell you tonight, Satan is a liar, and he's the father of it. Satan ain't your friend. He ain't your buddy. He ain't your BFF. He don't like you. And the sooner you realize, Sister Smith, that he don't like you, the sooner you realize that you got a fight of faith. Am I right? We might get weary because, and this is the reason, is because we don't fight hard enough. Some of us tonight wanted to worship harder than we worshiped, yet we didn't. Why? Some of us wanted to let loose in the Holy Ghost, and we didn't. Why? Because we believe a lie. We believe a lie, Brother Hill. I'm going to tell you right now, when you worship God, that is fighting the enemy. When you stand up on your feet and you lift your hands and you clap your hands and you yell to God and you tell him how good he is, Brother Elder, I'm going to tell you something. That's fighting the enemy. Come on, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God. They pull down strongholds. There's some of us in here that have had strongholds in our lives for years, and we can't get past it. You know why? Because you're trying to fight it on your own, and you're not letting God fight it for you. I'm going to tell you, Satan wants to destroy you, and if you want to know what to do tonight, it's simple and it's easy. You got to fight. And when you don't feel like fighting, Brother Manley, you got to look that devil in the face and you got to say, I don't care about what you're doing to me. I'm going to fight anyway. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stand to the side. I'm not going to let you push me around, Satan. I'm not going to let you play with my mind. I'm going to fight. I am a blood-bought child of the King. And I'm going to fight with everything in me. I don't care how silly I look. I don't care how ignorant it may seem. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that out of the word and the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, man will be saved. It's because of this Bible and this word. And if I look silly doing it, that's all right, honey, because I'm going to heaven. I don't got anything else on my mind. I just want to go to heaven. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you feel the Holy Ghost, just dance for a minute. If you feel the Holy Ghost, just let go for a minute. Come on, that's it. Devil, you ain't got nothing on the church. You ain't got nothing on the bride. I'm the bride of Christ. I got power through the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we got to realize something. We got to remind the devil who we are. We got to put him in his place. Sister Evans, I'm sorry, but he don't own me. I don't care how many times I've messed up. I don't care how many times things have gone wrong. He don't own me. I am bought with a price, the blood of the Lamb. We get weary, and we get issues in our life because our focus is off. David, brother Eldar, David would have never committed the sin he committed with Bathsheba had he went out with the kings as he was supposed to. See, the Bible says that David didn't go out to battle when the kings went out to battle. He stayed home. He didn't feel like fighting. And when you don't feel like fighting, it gives the devil authority to go ahead and bust you one. You got to identify that stuff, Brother Rubel. You got to think, if I don't feel like it or I'm mad at somebody, I better go do it anyway. Because Jesus is going to be there. And that's what's going on right now. I'm going to tell you what. We had a family prayer meeting. And, oh, me and my mother-in-law, we love each other, but we argue sometimes. You know it. I'm not normally the one that's wrong. She's normally right. And we were going to this family prayer meeting night, and something happened about time, and I just got all flustered. So mad. Not me. I don't get mad. I'm going to tell you, I got flustered. I looked at my wife. He said, you know, when I'm mad, that means Jesus is going to do something, right? So I better go there. So I went there, and I'm going to tell you, we had intercessory prayer like we had not yet had. We had every one of our family was on their face, down on the ground for almost an hour, weeping before the Lord. See, when you hear something, and Brother Louis, somebody says something about you, don't you worry. That's when it's time to dance. Woo! That's when it's time to say, hey, guess what? I'm doing the right thing. I'm in the right place. I know what. I'm walking the right path. It ain't time to be no sissy or ninny. Sit back and get your feelings hurt. Don't worry about your feelings. I want to be in heaven. You want to war against the enemy? You woke up and say, Brother Hill, I forgive you anyway. Boy, Satan won't like that. He won't like that. That's the truth. You want to get in the devil's... Why do you think Jesus said, bless them that curse you? Pray for them that despitefully use you. Because it's the opposite of what we feel like doing. What I really want to do and what I'm supposed to do are two different things. But if I'm going to go up and I'll walk up and I'll say, hey, buddy, you know what? I bless you anyway. I'll pray for you anyway. I don't care if you go to my church or not. Sometimes we're mean to each other. You get somebody mean to you, just look at them and smile and love them anyway. That will get on the devil's nerves. More than anything, recognize the fight you're fighting is not against each other. The fight that we're fighting is against the enemy. It's against the devil. Anybody here? Anybody with me? Anybody with me? Let's give God it. Come on, let's worship one more time. Come on. First Timothy 6:12. I ain't even got to my notes. First Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what that's saying? That's saying if you want to get to heaven, you better fight the fight of faith. And the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You know what that means? I don't see my happiness yet, but I'm going to fight for it anyway. I don't see my joy yet, but I'm going to fight for it anyway. I don't see my money yet, but I'm going to fight for it anyway. I may not see my blessing. I may not see my healing, but I'm going to fight for it. I am not going to stand down, devil. I ain't going to walk around like a little sissy. I'm going to get up on my feet and I'm going to fight you with every ounce of my being. If you want to lay hold on eternal life, the Bible says you got to fight the fight of faith. Don't even think you get to go to heaven when you don't believe God can do anything. Don't think you can just scoot by in a church atmosphere and not have faith that He is absolutely supreme. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, the last, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Come on, He's my healer. He's my deliverer. I'll kneel before Him any day. God, do what you want in me. I submit to you. I submit my spirit to you. And if the enemy wants to fight, I'll submit that much more. Man, why don't you just try doing the opposite of what you feel? Our heart is deceitful. And so when somebody says something or something gets your... I won't say that. When something gets on your nerves, there. I'd have regretted that one later, sorry. Something gets on your nerves. Don't just take it and then say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide my feelings and I'm going to let bitterness creep in. And before long, I'm going to hate Brother Hill. Because he said something I didn't like. Don't you do the opposite. Hey, Brother Hill, you got under my skin. Thank you. You stomped on my toes. Thank you. Because I wasn't going in the right direction anyway. I was kind of getting off path. Brother Hill, you punched me a little bit too hard. Thank you. Thank you for doing your job. Man, if you got a man of God getting under your skin, you need to praise God. If it wasn't for a man of God in our lives, where would we be? Someone that challenges our motives. Looks at us and says, I don't think that's pure. And you sit there and go, who? Me? Unpure? Yeah, right. Come on, we know our motives and we know who we are and we know we make a lot of mistakes. Thank God for the man of God who gets up in our face and tells us what we need to do. Because he can get up in my face any day. Simply put, I just want to be in heaven. Take away my ministry. Take away anything I have to do with the church. That's fine. I have no problems with that. I have no issues with that as long as I go to heaven. I mean, it's an honor to serve. Don't get me wrong. But honestly, if my servanthood... If I gain the whole world and lose my soul, it's not worth it. We got to get our mindset right. We got to know the battle plan. We got to know what's going on. I'll tell you, there's a saying, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't fight, you won't win. I ain't ever seen a battle or a victory won by some person sitting back going, yeah, I'm fighting hard. You got to get up on your feet and do something about the problem. You got to speak to your problem. You don't let your problem dictate to you. You look at that problem square in the face and say, guess what? You don't know who I serve, God. My God is bigger than you, problem. He's not my problem either. But you look your problem square in the face and you say, guess what? I serve a big God, and He can take care of anything. absolutely anything. God, I pray faith be loosed in this place that we believe it, God. More so than we believe it, that we know it in our hearts, in our spirits. I'll never forget the day that I had, I think it was his event, HYC, Youth Congress, something. I can't remember exactly what happened. I just remember what occurred afterwards. I thought I had faith because I absolutely knew God could do anything. I knew it in my mind. I understood it, that God is capable of absolutely anything. He can raise the dead. He can heal the blind. He can take care of a heart. He can do anything that He wants. Any problem, issue in your life, He can take care of it. But I remember I went somewhere. I remember it was a Brother Stone King conference down in Madisonville. And God, I said, I know You said that we can't increase our faith, but God, I simply need to know how to open my faith. And I said, if I get anything out of this conference, I just want to come back knowing that my faith is real. And I walked back into my workplace, and a guy was sitting across the table from me, and I looked across at him. He did not believe in God. And he was complaining. He said, my back, it hurts. It's, you know, and for a guy, he wasn't just any sissy. He was a guy. He had muscles, you know, and my back hurts. And he was sitting there, and I looked at him dead square in the eyes, Sister Robin. And I said, I can pray for you, and God will heal you. And something in my spirit leapt. And I went, whoa, I believed what I just said. And for the first time, I realized my faith had been opened, that I had always known God can do it, but I didn't necessarily believe it. And so we got to realize that if you want faith to be active in your life, it's not just simply knowing God can do it, but it's also believing with all your heart. And if you don't believe, then you just keep on trying and keep on praying and just work at it and work at it until you get it. Sometimes we just go, Lord, heal me. He doesn't, and we give up. What kind of fight is that? I wish I had to fight, like, you know, when I was, Brother Hill used to fight people. Wouldn't it have been great if you just got up and the guy just said, that's it. Just gave one stab. Go ahead, beat me to death. Wouldn't that have been nice? I'm not sure I've ever seen a fight where two people just, you know, one of them's just kind of, you know. Normally, if you get in a fight, you got two people and they're going at it. I mean, they're red-faced. Me and Elder, we've wrestled, and he beat me once, only once, but he beat me once. And I didn't just let him. I tried hard, you know, with all my might. I wasn't going to give in to that. I wasn't going to let him have bragging rights. No way. What kind of fight is it if we simply say one little bitty tiny lay me down to sleep prayer and then give up? God is looking for a church that's ready to fight, that's ready to stand up and say, God, if it takes me praying for 3 days, I'm going to pray for 3 days. Brother Krause, if it takes me to go on a 3-day fast, I'm going to go on a 3-day fast. Whatever it takes. I noticed everybody been quiet when I said fast. There wasn't no shouting with fast. Some of us need to get back to an old-fashioned type of altar and get on our face and say, you know what? I need to fast more than once a week. I need my flesh is so out of control, I need to just beat it back into submission. That's the truth. Sometimes we get so out of hand, our flesh gets so out of hand, at the second somebody says a little bit of thing against us, we flare up. What a Christian. What kind of love you got? I'm on my second bullet point, by the way. The Battle of Britain was a series of air battles fought between the German Air Force and the British Royal Air Force. It was the first time during World War II that Adolf Hitler's Nazi forces were thwarted. Following the fall of France, only Great Britain held out against Germany. They were the last country to hold on. With ground forces stopped by the English Channel, Hitler launched a heavy air attack on England. When several daytime attacks proved unsuccessful, the Germans executed a nighttime blitzkrieg. If that's how you say it. There you go, say that.
Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, like that. Or a lightning war on London, England. This attack began on September 7th and it continued for 57 nights. Thank God he doesn't let us endure for 57 nights. How would you like to have your problem for 57 nights? Fighting it. During this time, an average of 200 planes each night blasted the city with high explosive bombs. The relentless raids killed more than 43,000 British and wounded five times that number. But only the outstanding performance of the RAF, which is the English forces, the British Royal Air Force, kept the Germans from forcing Britain to surrender. And as a result, Germany abandoned its plan for invasion. You want to know why? Because they didn't give up. They did not give up. See, that's the problem. We get weary in well-doing, and we want to lay down. I'm just tired, and I want to take a break. That's what we do, isn't it? We're like, I've been battling for 2 days. It's been a week. Sweetheart, you've been battling for a week. Thank God you're doing something right. You got something going for you. Keep it up. Keep battling. Don't get weary. Stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I'll tell you, they didn't even have promises. The Church of the Living God has promises. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. There's not a weapon formed by the devil that can get to me. It's not going to prosper. It may knock me down a few times. I may be on my knees a few times. But I'll tell you what, I'm a righteous man. And I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep on. They don't have the promise, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means greater, more, bigger is the Holy Ghost in me than anything in the entire world. Well, if you quit preaching, I'm not. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means no matter what trial I'm going through, no matter what the battle is, I can do it. That alone is enough faith for me. The Word of God is the Word of God. And if He said I can do it through Christ, then I can do it through Christ. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season. Do you know what that means? In God's time. Not your own time. In God's time. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. You're going to reap exactly what's coming to you if you keep fighting. But if you lay down and you give up, you're not going to reap the rewards. All in it. What do you think some of our backsliders are like they are? They quit way too early. And all they seen was a bunch of fighting going on. And it was too hard. Well, I tell you what, if we could grab a hold of them and say, listen, don't faint yet. Get back up. Give them a little spiritual CPR. Get down and start banging on their heart, saying, God, get a hold of it. I'll tell you what, they're going to reap if they faint not, and you're going to reap if you faint not. I'm going to tell you, and this one is my favorite. I throw this in the devil's face all the time. He comes up at me. He tempts me. He looks me square in the eye. And he knows my weakness, and he just jabs in there. And I look at him, and I say, devil, if God be for me, who can be against me? You can't go wrong. If God is for you, if God is going to bless you, then who can be against you? I don't care who says what about you. I don't care what your feelings are like. If God is for you, then who can be against you? I'll tell you what, if you want to fight the devil, you got to understand his tactics. The enemy attacks three areas of our life. He will attack our mind first, our body second, and our will third. Satan's target is your mind initially. And why in the world would Satan want to attack your mind? It's because your mind is a part of the image of God, where God communicates with you and reveals his will to you. If you don't know the will of God, then you walk around blinded. So if he can attack your mind, then he can get the best of you. But God renews our lives by renewing our minds. He renews our minds through his truth. This truth is the word of God. That means, sweetheart, if you ain't reading, you ain't getting. If you ain't studying, you ain't renewing. You got to get in the Bible. You got to learn something new. You know, our pastor always talks about welfare. I think sometimes we get a welfare mentality in the church. Feed me. Nobody wants to work for it themselves. You want to know how the men and women of God have got where they were? Where you know, you just... The brother Freemans and the sister Freemans and just the brother Arnolds and the brother Grahams. You know those men you just look at and those women you look at and all you can think is, my, what a powerful prayer warrior. What a powerful ministry that God has in them. Do you know why? They work for it. They don't expect handouts. They get on their face and they pray. They crucify their flesh. And they say, even though I don't want to, Brother Eldar, I'm going to. Simply because I don't want to. I mean, in my mind, if I think, God, I don't want to do something of you, that ought to tell my spirit ought to raise up in me and say, just because I don't want to, I'm going to do it more. I tell you, we did this Bible reading plan for the youth this year, and it was so many, I don't know, it was like 5 verses a day. And I got off track, you know, like everybody does. So I decided, forget this, I'm reading the Bible in 90 days. I'm doing it too. I got an app for it. There's an app for that. And the reason why I'm going to do it is simply because I couldn't. I'm not going to allow the enemy to get a hold of me and say, you can't. Ha, look at that. You messed up again. Well, not like I ain't read it 3 times already. You know, it's not like I haven't been through it. But just the fact that he could have something on me to battle in my mind, I'm just going to do it because. See, I'm not going to give him place in my mind. I'm not going to give him authority in my life. So if Satan can get you to believe a lie, then he can begin to work in your life to lead you into sin. And this is why he attacks the mind. This is why we must protect our minds from the attacks of the enemy. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That means when your mind starts going nuts, wrap it up and start thinking on the good stuff. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, God doesn't look at your mind all the time. He looks at your heart. I'm going to tell you something, and you may not agree with me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You better not judge yourself based on what's in your mind. If you want to judge yourself based on your actions. See, the Bible says, Matthew Somewhere. It's in my notes. Somewhere. There it is. Matthew 7:20 says, Jesus said, therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know what that means? If you're producing good fruit, then it don't matter what you're battling with in your mind. You're still on target. Because your mind is the battleground. And you got to have the battle plan for the battleground. All right. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what that means? It's simple. If you're going to think like the world, you're going to die. If you want to think like heaven, then you're going to live. That means when you got a situation going on in your life and you think there's no way out, that's like the world. But when you got a situation going on in your life and you recognize God's ability to do anything in your life, that's thinking through heaven. Genesis 3:1 through 7. I want to read this to you. I'm going to show you what Satan does. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Number one, Satan questions God's word. When he was speaking to Eve, he said, indeed, has God said? He questioned what God said first. Secondly, he denies God's word. You surely shall not die. And thirdly, Satan substituted his own lie. You will be like God. That's not what it said. It said you'd be like gods, little g. He substituted a lie. The reason Satan does this is to make you ignorant of God's will. He goes in there and he kind of tells you. And then he twists it a little more. And then he flat out lies to you. But you've already believed him the first time and you got too much pride to realize that. Isn't that how we are? We get way too much pride in our life, and so once we believe the lie, I asked our young people this morning. They all agreed, so don't let them lie to you. I said, how many of you ever said something and it came out the wrong way out of your mouth and you knew it shouldn't have come out that way, but it did, but then you were too prideful to take it back? They're all like, yeah. Because we all do it. It'd be a whole lot easier just to say, oh, I didn't mean that. I'm so sorry. But no, there's pride in us. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Apart from the word of God, we have no sure understanding of the will of God. The will of God is the expression of God's love for us, even when it hurts. How many of you have been? The Bible says that God tries you by, fire. And the Bible also says that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive fire. That means the same Holy Ghost that's in us and the same fire that's in us is going to try us until we're made pure. You want the Holy Ghost and you want the work of God in your life, then you got to understand you need the trying by fire too. Because that's what's going to make you right. That's what's going to get you to heaven. First Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you have issues with your mind and your thoughts running rapid in your mind, then you need to pray the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I promise you it'll work. How many have prayed that scripture and your thoughts have immediately? Put your hands up all over. That's a testimony that when you pray the Word of God, then the Word of God is going to work in your favor. Amen? Come on, let's praise God for a minute. Come on, God, I want your favor. I want your will. I don't want my mind to be under attack. If Satan cannot defeat you by deceiving your mind, he will then try to destroy your body. You want to know why our pastor is under attack so much? Because Satan can't break his mind. He's set. So he attacks his body. As the serpent, he deceives. But as the lion, he destroys. When we resist his deceit, then he will attack our bodies. Job is the prime illustration of this kind of attack. Job lost the fruit of his body, which was his children. He lost the means to sustain his body, which was his flocks, his herds, and his wealth. And then he lost the health of his body when he contracted a painful disease. Satan wants to attack your body because it is God's temple. See, your mind is the place that God's will dwells in, and he wants to attack that. But once you know the will of God, then he wants to attack the temple of God. That's why you need to be a Christian inside church and outside of church. Your body stands for the temple of God. See, in the Old Testament, Solomon built an amazing temple with amazing things. In the New Testament, he said, I don't need that because I'm going to have multiple temples. And each of us is a temple of a living God. How do we not recognize that? We got to recognize who we are. I got scriptures for it, but you know it's right, so I'm going to go on. Our conduct in the body glorifies God. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. Hold on. You got to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Your conduct. Your conduct in secret, in private, when nobody else is around. Some of our young people are in JROTC. That is one long acronym. They're in some kind of Air Force. And I was very impressed by this because when we began to deal with integrity the other day, they said the exact definition that I believe is the truest. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one else is around. When nobody's looking, when you know you're not going to be caught, you do the right thing simply because it's right. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And ladies and gentlemen, our conduct ought to be such. Our conduct in the house of God and outside the house of God. And I'm going to tell you what, if you will go to Walmart and bypass your brother or sister, look the other way or run the other way, shame on you. We are the family of God. And we need to stick together through thick and thin. I'm sorry. Okay. This means when Satan attacks your body, he is attacking the one means God has of revealing his grace and love to a lost world. Creation reveals the power, the wisdom, and the glory of God. How many of you have ever just gone outside and when you look, you just go, wow. Look at that sky. Look at those trees. Look at that cloud. Look at the sunset. Look at that moon. Look at those stars. Just like, wow. I do that to my child, and he looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, God made all of that, Jamin. He's like, duh, Dad. But it amazes me. I'd be driving down the highway. Look at that sunset. Click, click, click. Oh, I'm just kidding. Creation reveals the power, wisdom, and glory of God, but Christians reveal the grace and the love of God. God will judge you for your sins. As brothers and sisters, we got to uplift each other. Don't worry about the petty stuff, people. It's not a big deal. Let God take care of their heart. You're worried about it, pray for them. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to crush them. You know? It's the truth. Job 13:15. After everything Job went through, after all that was lost, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. That means I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit fighting, Brother Krause. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to march on in the army of God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let down. I'm going to keep going. And that's in the bad times. Because in due season. In due season. Come on. If he can't get your body, and I'm getting close, he's going to attack your will. David is the prime example of this. And no, not his sin with Bathsheba. When we think of David, we think all he did was commit adultery and go murder some dude. That's what we think of. That was not the worst sin that David did. That sin, the judgment of that sin, only killed four people. Four people died at the judgment of that sin. However, when David committed his other sin, 70,000 died. When David confessed his sin of murder and adultery, he said, I have sinned. But when he confessed his other sin, he said, I have sinned greatly. What was his other sin? Let's bring 1 Chronicles 21 up. 1 and 2 first. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel, to count them. Wow. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and to bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Next scripture. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Next scripture. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. Now how many of us would have read that passage and honestly thought that that sin was greater than murder and adultery? Anybody would have jumped for that one? He numbered the people. Wow. You know what the difference was? Is that when he sinned and he committed adultery and he killed Uriah, it was a fleshly sin. But when he sinned and numbered the people, God had told him directly not to. It was a spiritual sin. And the difference was simply that. One was fleshly and one was spiritual. And so there's sins in our life. Some of them are fleshly, but some of them are spiritual. when God tells you no and you do it anyway. That's what David did. Satan targeted David, had pride, and because David felt he was important, Satan was able to tempt that pride. That's why we stay humble and never give ourselves glory, but always give glory to God. That's why it doesn't matter how good of a job we do, how great we sing, how great we play, how great we preach, how great we worship. It ain't a show, folks. It's all about Him. And I'm going to give my glory through my preaching. I'm going to give my glory through my singing. I'm going to give my glory through my playing and through my worship. And that means I'm not going to back down. When I feel like worshiping, I'm going to simply worship. I will tell you this, and the music can come. David had pride, and because David felt he was important, Satan was able to tempt that pride. That's why we stay humble. I already said that. Anyway, Satan is an accuser, and he will accuse you, but regardless of his accusations, don't give in to his desire. He's going to stand in your face and tell you you're a piece of junk. He's going to tell you you're a lowlife and you're undeserving. You don't deserve to worship. You don't deserve to pray. You don't need to be studying. You deserve your affliction. All right? I'm going to tell you what. Never, ever, ever give up. You stand up and you fight. Ephesians 6, 14 through 18. I know I got scriptures, but it's just what the Lord gave me. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You want to know what your weapons are and your defenses are? Your forgiveness. You want to see true apostolic revival? Have a spirit of forgiveness in your heart. And forgive people when they don't deserve it. Come on, it's the truth. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to him, I forgave it. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. That means if I don't forgive, Satan's got a little bit of an advantage on me, Brother Eldar. About to call you Pastor Eldar. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Your defense is simply this, the inspired word of God. You better read it, you better know it, you better memorize it, you better meditate on it, and you better use it. We're starting Bible quizzing for a reason. We want young people to memorize the word of God. We want it to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee. I butchered that verse, but that's what it says anyway. You have the inspired word of God as your defense. You have the imparted grace of God. If you will submit yourself to God and thank God for your trials, thank Him for those trials. Spend much time in the Word of God and look for ways to glorify God. You have the indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Stay humble. Pray and let the Spirit lead you. Stop making your own choices. Stop trying to do it on your own. Pray until God gets a hold of you. Don't ever give up based on how you feel. How many of you in here would have gave up if it was based on your feelings? Feelings are fickle. They're legitimate sometimes. They're legitimate, but they may not be right. It could be the wrongest feeling in the world. I mean, it's legitimate that you feel that way, but it may not be right. You got to realize that. Bring up Revelations 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Bring up 2 Corinthians 2:10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, for I gave it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, if we are not ignorant of his devices. Is that 11 too? Oh, I'm sorry, I already read that one. There is going to be a time of judgment for Satan. He's going to get what he deserves. But we as a church have got to realize something, that we are in a war. The battle may not be won, but the war is won. See, Jesus already has victory because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. But we get our mentality totally out of whack. We get so out of focus, we don't know what's right from wrong, up from down, side to side. And the point is you got to realize, if you got something that's getting under your skin, it's not just a person. There is something going on. So you love that person. You help that person. And you pray for that person. How many here tonight are tired of Satan messing around in your life? Honestly. Okay, I want everybody to stand up. If you're tired of Satan messing around in your life, I want you to come down here. Now we'll see who's honest. Body or your will, we're going to pray a prayer, and you're going to let go, and you're going to allow God to do what He wants to do in your life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I come before you right now, and I ask upon every person that is in this place that angels are loose to fight this battle for them, that you will do the work that only you can do. The torment that is in our minds, the battle that is in our minds, I pray in the name of Jesus that these things will go away. They have no authority in us. I pray that we can recognize the enemy in our life, not blame it on people, but recognize his tactics. God, I pray your spirit to be loosed in us, and I pray faith right now be imparted unto every one of these people, God. Let the Holy Ghost now be poured out, and I pray faith be in our hearts and in our lives. And as we go out, we begin to speak your word. And we see our problems, but we look at it through your eyes. And we know that you can do anything. God, I pray it in Jesus' name. If you would lift your hands and you would begin to shout and you would begin to love God and you would begin to give Him honor and praise, I promise you, your mind is going to be better controlled. Your body is going to be healed. God, now you saw Marita Potorita Mayika. Rato no rada ba shon no